funny enough, I actually heard on the radio this morning. I listened to the radio with the kids on the way into school on Mondays, which is kind of hilarious, like a throwback. But they were talking about home prices. The expectation is that they're going to go up now 4.5% in 2024. And they were all saying, oh, you know, we just need rates to come down. And, you know, obviously they're not, you know, real estate experts, but it's just funny that that's kind of like the general public's opinion is like, oh, we just need rates to come down. And as we've said, you know, rates, fixed rates are down like almost 3/4 points from last year. Variable rates are the only things that might come down in June or July. And even that, like if they come down 1/4 point, it's not going to impact the market dramatically. So like people really, like we said, they should have been buying in no starting to buy in November up until now. But now is the time, like when that rate drops and the, you know, the general populace now thinks, oh, now's the time to buy, it's going to be too late. Like the ship will have left the dock, you know? So like prior to rates dropping, or the perception of rates dropping, is when prices are still going to be fairly comfortable, you know, consistent, stagnant, you know, whatever you want to call like a standard increase. When the perception is that rates have dropped and now is the time to buy, like that's when we're going to see the big jump in prices. So like it's going to be too late at that point, you know. I don't think people understand that.
You're listening to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast with your hosts, Paul Stevenson, David Warren, and Greg Campbell. Let's see what's going on in the world of real estate today.
Woo! Hello, and welcome back to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast, where we bring you the latest and greatest on real estate in our nation's capital, Ottawa. It's the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast. My name is Paul Stevenson. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, David Warren and Greg Campbell. We are all real estate experts, decades in the industry, and we want to talk to you. If you're interested in selling a home, getting pre-approved, looking at financing options, call us. We want to chat.
And, we do.
We also want to give a quick shout out to our amazing sponsor at Gertin Poirier Law, Avocat Lawyers. Amazing real estate lawyers. We all work with them. They're incredible. And shout out to Natalie and Michelle. Great team. Great sponsor. They love the show. We love them. Gentlemen, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Who's jumping first?
I was waiting for Dave. Great. Am I? Well, feeling
you're
it.
You're looking like it.
Today.
Hey, you look great.
Big got some big listings coming up, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The market is interesting, as I'm sure you guys have seen as well. Yeah, you know, there's where do we start? Where do we start today, guys? We start with mortgages. We starting with
what are you seeing in the market? Well, you're already talking. What are you?
I'm talking.
Seeing this week. What are you talking?
I got things to say. I'm talking. So, one interesting scenario that I heard of, you know, that happened over the weekend. So these buyers, this house had been on the market for a couple of hours. There were a lot of showings. They came in right away, 2 hours after it had been on the market, offering just over full price. They had conditions of 2 days for inspection and a few days for financing. And there was 10 showings booked for the next day. And they got the property anyways. Like the seller said, you know, that's fine. We'll accept full price. And they said that during the inspection, there were people knocking at the door trying to get in to see the house, because on realtor.ca, it said that it was still for sale. Because when it's conditional on realtor.ca, they don't take it down. It's still listed as active. So she said that at the inspection, she was basically like, no, you can't come in. Like we're doing an inspection. The house is conditionally sold. And the people were like aggressive, like going, well, it still says that it is. We just want to come in and see the house. Like, well, no, you can't. It's sold. So,
wow.
And this was on a property that was $790,000, an end townhome.
Where was this?
Corner unit. So, I mean, with that said, that's significant information. I also know that Luca lost on a multiple over the weekend as well with his buyer. I think they had 10 offers total. So now, again, to be clear, we're finding that these are the absolute perfect homes. Speaking with another agent here this morning, Chantal, she was saying that when she's looking at homes right now with her buyers, if there's anything wrong, there's always another one around the corner that's better, and there's nothing to do at all. So she's making sure that anyone she talks to about listing their property, she's going in with a big list saying like, you need to do all of these things, because if you don't, someone will move on, because buyers want absolutely perfect homes right now. And the ones that are looking will pay top dollar or more for that perfect home so that they have nothing to do at all, yeah. Which we've said before, but this is just in real time, you know, what we're seeing. And the ones that aren't are sitting as usual.
Now, where was that townhome that was 790?
That was in Stittsville.
Okay. Wow. I believe.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, the sellers must have been very motivated to get, like, did they have another offer or did, sorry, not another offer. Do they have another property that they're moving into? Because you would think
they do.
Having an offer, and so, knowing you have 10 showings, you'd at least let the showings happen.
And I should be clear on this. They had, so the other thing that was interesting is that they had two backup offers right away. So like as soon as that offer was accepted and started the process, they had two others that came in. If this falls through, here's our offer, which may have even been more money, but they had to go with what they had because that's how it works. Once you're accepted, you're accepted. You can't go back. Very interesting though.
I know of another property last week that in McKellar Park that went multiple offers on listing present. They held listing presentation date, detached, well-priced, but good area, obviously being kind of on that border of Westboro, and it went multiple offers that 2 days or 3 days after listing, you know, on that presentation date. Again, it depends, like we've always said, and even during the pandemic, it all depend, you know, wherever the property was, the type of property all like always makes a difference. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly hearing it same as you, you know, a few months ago, a year ago, weren't hearing of multiple offers at all, or even a listing presentation. So for, you know, in the same week of us, and this is a small subset of just the three of us hearing of multiple properties going at multiple offers or on presentation date, the fact there is presentation dates goes to tell you something as well.
Yeah. And yes. Sorry, just, it was actually Riverside South, not Stittsville.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think the fact, Greg, you mentioned last week that March had the largest number of listings in the last 5 years, I think, month to month, and highest in March, I think, for many years. So I think the days on market being so short is probably also a combination of a lot of listings, lack of supply. So now there's a lot of supply where people are scooping it up quickly. So I think the days on market is getting shorter. But I think also, like you said, people that are listing their properties are aware that it needs to be turnkey. Like nobody's looking for a project right now. I was looking at one home that had, it was a duplex, but once I was completely, like it was down to the studs and they were selling it that way. It was like, oh, you know, customize it however you want. It's like, yeah, some people will love that. You know, I know the three of us would probably think that's a great opportunity, but other people are like, well, you know, I'm not interested in a full renovation remodeling project. Like people want to be able to move in a month or two with their family and so on. And I'm still seeing a lot of migration. This is obviously relocation time as well for military. So there's a lot of people. April and May is relocation months for people in the military. So there's a lot of people moving to Ottawa right now as well in this area. So I'm seeing a lot of people doing that. And I was mentioning to you guys over the weekend too, a lot of people asking about pre-approvals for pre-construction. So people looking at 2025, 2026 builds that are talking to me now about getting pre-approved for those types of properties. So I've never, in the last week, there's been five people that have asked specifically about pre-approvals. Now, they're all coming from the same source. So I think there might be someone that's focused on those pre-constructions. But still, it's one of those things where there's a lot of people looking at, okay, well, I can't find anything now in my price range. Let's look at these new builds closing in a year or two that are within my price range. But hopefully, I'm thinking they're probably thinking the same thing everyone did when they're buying during the pandemic, that in 2 years, you know, what they're buying for six now might be worth seven or 675 or something like that, right? So everyone's kind of trying to play that long game now and figure out, okay, what's the plan for 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, as opposed to just the immediate. As we said over the last year, people were buying properties as, you know, basically as like crypto stocks, hoping to hit the jackpot in two months from now, and as opposed to just buying long term. So it's good to see people thinking longer term, right, with their purchases.
Good segue that from that into the announcement by Liberals this past week for tomorrow's budget. Today is Monday the 15th, but that first-time homebuyers, they're going to be lengthening the amortization on new construction only for a first-time homebuyer where you can purchase at a 30-year amortization, and that's supposed to be kicking in for August 1st. Now, whether that, you know, there's still clarity required, whether that is the purchase agreement needs to be signed August 1st or later, or whether it's just closing can be August 1st and that would come into play. That is not clear. I'm curious to find out tomorrow, the 16th, whether there's clarity around that. But certainly, I think a lot of realtors on here, a lot of mortgage agents that are speaking to clients certainly remember that that will affect their qualifying. They'll be able to qualify for more or setting a closing date out. And again, waiting until the 16th for more clarity on whether that is a closing date of August 1st and beyond or just a purchase agreement signed. My guess is it'll be just a closing date, but we'll find out.
There's something else I wanted to mention here just before I forget as we continue on the show, that we are noticing as well that most first-time buyers now are hitting, well, are starting to shop for condo towns or just condominiums in general. There's a lot of townhomes on the market and there's more sitting longer than usual for this time of year anyways. And there's way more available. So that's just something to consider. If you are shopping for a townhome, you have more options, I think, and you have a little bit more negotiation power, depending on where you are and whatnot. But there are some good opportunities out there for townhomes for first-time buyers if you are able to do that as a first-time purchase. Just a little trend that some of us are seeing in certain markets.
Clearly not the Riverside South end unit townhomes, though.
No, I mean, that's a different... Yeah, well, exactly. You know, as I say that, you know, you're thinking of that. But there's a lot going for less in a lot of parts of towns, like in Orleans, parts of towns, in the lots of parts of towns. There's, you know, Orleans, we've got 86 towns listed right now. Well, no, in the last 7 days, we've had 9 sales, and there's 12 conditional sales out of those 86. So that's less than usual right there. But I mean, things are still moving. And most of those are selling for under ask. Actually, I'm looking at this right now. They all are. So there you go. Oh, except for one. So opportunities arise. If you're looking at townhomes, make sure that you know your numbers and you get in there.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Craig, for all that great data. That felt
weird. Yeah. I don't know. Something strange about
it. You got very serious about those numbers as well. Your voice kind of slowed down a bit.
Very slow, sensual. Let me tell you about we should keep track of the number of listings, days on market, I think over the next month and a half, just to see where those go. Cause I think it's going to be very interesting to track that, especially if we do see the rate drop in June or July as expected. Bank of Canada held rates last week as everyone, I think, on the planet expected. I think if they had gone up or down, there would have been riots, because I think nobody was expecting anything to move. And it's such a weird, I mean, Dave, you could probably speak to this better than I can. It's because I know you've tracked this very closely, but as far as like the US economics and so on, like they seem to be really, really impacting strongly our bond rates and therefore fixed rates. Funny enough, I actually heard on the radio this morning, I listened to the radio with the kids on the way into school on Mondays, which is kind of hilarious, like a throwback. But they were talking about home prices. The expectation is that they're going to go up now 4.5% in 2024. And they were all saying, oh, you know, we just need rates to come down. And, you know, obviously they're not, you know, real estate experts, but it's just funny that that's kind of like the general public's opinion. It's like, oh, we just need rates to come down. And as we've said, you know, fixed rates are down like almost 0.75 points from last year. Mm-hmm. Variable rates are the only things that might come down in June or July. And even that, like if they come down 0.25 point, it's not going to impact the market dramatically. So like people really, like we said, they should have been starting to buy in November up until now. But now is the time, like when that rate drops and the general populace now thinks, oh, now's the time to buy. It's going to be too late. Like the ship will have left the dock, you know? So like prior to rates dropping, or the perception of rates dropping, is when prices are still going to be fairly comfortable, you know, consistent, stagnant, you know, whatever you want to call like a standard increase. When the perception is that rates have dropped and now is the time to buy, like that's when we're going to see the big jump in prices. So like it's going to be too late at that point, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand that.
I mean, I think they should just leave it till the end of the year at least. I just don't know why they would, you know, like you said, it's not going to make that big of a difference, but regardless to the general public, it'll just be this trigger that will put them in the market and then people will start buying regardless of whether it affects, you know, a difference in the future or a difference today. And then prices go up and then here we are again. And then there's a housing crisis, a worse one.
Are you thinking of buying or selling a residential property? Relationships are at the heart of every real estate transaction. At Gueltain Poirier Avocat Lawyers, we love to bring residential buyers, sellers, agents, lenders, mortgage brokers, and the law together to close the deal for you. For an effortless client experience that opens doors, call us at 613-744-4488 or visit our website at GueltainPoirierLaw.ca. Let's get to the heart of your deal.
And then the modular home prefab 3D home printing thing is going to come out tomorrow too. I can't wait to see that. Is the cost? I don't think it's going to be any cheaper. It's just going to be a smaller home built for you.
When 30% of the cost of building is permits and development fees and all that, I gather there is something coming to that effect as well. So again, tomorrow will be interesting. But yeah, I think both your comments about the like rate drops and everything. I mean, certainly that's something that Tip Macklem with the Bank of Canada has been kind of talking about, is not moving too quickly, even though inflation is down and people are suffering. Companies aren't investing in their business because their cost of carrying debt is too high, and the general population, their cost of carrying debt is too high. But knowing that they have commented that we have a housing issue and that dropping rates is going to fuel that purchasing market, which kind of further, you know, creates a bigger hole. But it's kind of weighing that, you know, the existing population that has debt right now, businesses that are laying people off, you know, unemployment rate up and not being able to invest or not be able to carry their debt, versus people that, you know, are looking to buy but don't have that debt yet. And so how does that affect? So I think it's kind of certainly a difficult balance between the two. To your point, I mean, really the population is just waiting for that positive headline of rates going down. But if rates go down even a quarter point on a fixed rate from where they are right now, 4.99 for an insured mortgage to 4.75, is that like, if people, you know, if people hear that, is that really going to fuel you? If that's what you're waiting for, jump in. Like, do you not think that others will as well? You know, why not just get a now hedge, like on a shorter term? You know, and then, you know, when rates have come down over the next year and two anyways to a more stabilized number, you're just going to be renewing at that lower rate then. But if your budget can handle it, like we've always said, but Bank of Canada is going to drop by a quarter point. So it goes from 6.2 to 5.95 on an insured variable rate.
It just kills me. Okay.
You can get a fixed mortgage right now at 4.99, like,
which is
insured.
Great.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is excellent. And also, we're still qualifying them at that rate plus 2%. So even if the variable rate drops to 5.95, like, we're still qualifying at 8%. Like, it doesn't change much as far as the affordability. But the public sentiment is, yeah, the perception is going to be rates are now down. We should go out and buy. And then when they get into the process, they're already on the road. It's like, oh, we can get a fixed rate and qualify for even more. Well, let's do that. So really, like, they could have done that now instead of 3 months from now. So a couple other, sorry,
just
Greg,
one final point, Paul.
Of course.
Here's my point, Paul. If you could buy the same house last November for $550,000 at whatever the mortgage rate was at the time, and you can buy the same house in May for $650,000, like, you know, where are you? Like, who's lost at that point, right?
Yeah, if you're like saving,
you're clearly paying more monthly, regardless of if the rate dropped like a full point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that same house was available. There wasn't as many of them, but it was there. You just weren't watching it, and you were thinking that when the rates drop, there's going to be 20 of that home available, but the price is going to go up because there's going to be 50 of you trying to buy that same house.
Yeah, and if your house goes up $50,000, but you're saving a quarter point in interest, you're still probably net down $40,000 in the 5-year term. You know, like, you're still losing in the long run because
and that quarter point's for like a couple of years. It's not like the US where you're locking in for 30 years, you know, which obviously which changes things. Like, the US market is much different for how their mortgages are treated. For us, you're locking in for a few years, you know, but anyways.
So
who knows?
Couple things, highlights of the government's housing plan. So from the Solving the Housing Crisis, Canada's housing plan, this was the government's new housing strategy, which they announced last week. One of the things they want to do is they want to commit to exploring CRA income verification in the budget. So right now, you know, we do verify some lenders do have forms where we can actually reference CRA, but most of the time we're using you know, notice of assessments, T4 slips, things like that. So those can obviously be copied, you know, they can be fraudulent at times. We do obviously do our best and we have training to do that, and so do lenders and so on, but they do want to connect further with CRA. But some of the highlights of the government's housing plan, so I'll just read this directly from the source. It says, the release of the federal housing plan comes one day after the government unveiled new measures it says will help address housing affordability for first-time homebuyers. That includes extending the maximum amortization period, as Dave mentioned, from 25 to 30 years for insured mortgages on new builds, and also increasing the home buyers plan limit to 60,000 from 35,000, which I think is excellent. So that'd be 60,000 per person that they can withdraw from their RSPs for the use of buying their first home. Additional measures unveiled today as part of the government's housing plan include a plan to build 3.87 million new homes by 2031, including 2 million net new homes in addition to the 1.87 million homes that the CMHC forecast will be built by that year. An additional 15 million allocated to the apartment construction loan program to ensure construction of that at least 30,000 new rental apartments. 10 million invested into the skilled trades awareness and readiness program to motivate high school students to pursue careers in skilled trades. I think that's awesome. And 50 million directed to the foreign credential recognition program specifically to support residential construction and asset skilled trade workers in building more homes.
And yeah, I mean, there's certainly some good things in there. The income verification thing is great. I know Mortgage Professionals Canada and a number of bodies have been lobbying for that for ages. They've had it in the US for like 10 years. It will cut down on fraud. It will make borrowers' lives easier as far as like not needing to provide as much documentation. But so that's fantastic. That'll just also weed out those fraudulent deals. Yeah, like you said, that RSP, being able to do 120 per couple and also be able to use that first-time homebuyer savings account, you know, that 40,000. So really, you know, you're able to pull out $100,000 now from, you know, savings, if you will, which is great for first-time homebuyers per. I think that'll go a long way. I'm hopeful that in the cities, not necessarily in Ottawa, that it doesn't impact us as much, but certainly in Toronto and whatnot, is increasing that upper limit for insured mortgages as well. As we've talked about before, them pushing buyers to get an insured mortgage as opposed to conventional, making it harder on the conventional side qualifying. Right now it's $1 million limit for under 20% down, but there's a lot of markets where that, you know, the average price point is higher than $1 million. So raising it, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of push to raise it to 1.25.
At least in the major urban centers, you know, like obviously in, you know, I don't know, small towns, they're not going to need 1.25 million, but in Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, like, you know, over half the homes are in that price point. So it's basically, half the homes can't be insured. You can't get an insured mortgage on half the homes in the city. Like, they have to do something about that.
And maybe make it for a first-time home buyer, not necessarily somebody on their fifth home or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that raising it to 30-year amortization, like, you know, for a first-time home buyer, that's great. I mean, if it's their third one because they keep rolling them, well, maybe have that different restriction there. But, you know, in 2012 or 2008, we had 40-year amortizations. They scaled it back to 25 years. There's a great article this morning that I was reading that kind of was commenting, well, why are we telling a 35-year-old they have to have their mortgage paid off by 55 or 60? Like, you know, you can go a longer period, you know, arguably, and have a lower payment, that lower obligation for them. And again, it's really, this is geared at first-time home buyers, not that, you know, third, fourth, fifth buyer. But anyways, we'll see.
I was at a family function yesterday and someone was asking me about the printed homes, Greg, the 3D homes. And it'll be interesting to see if these, like those 30-year amortizations qualify for these newly built, like they should, the new construction, like the kind of catalog that they're building, if these 30-year amortizations will qualify for these government-built 3D printed or homes, right? Because clearly that's kind of the direction. It's like, okay, we'll build the homes and we'll give you 30 amortizations on them. Someone was asking about like the resale value of those, like, you know, resale value of a 3D home. Like, what is that going to look like? And really there's no precedent right now as to what the resale will look like. So it's really hard to know.
It's a testing ground.
Yeah.
Probably like I mean, really not the 3D, but I mean, really they all look like the old school war home style and size. So smaller lot and all that, which I don't know how that really helps things because you still need the land to build on and it's not helping increase densification in the city. So again, this is maybe going to help in the, like, make a cheaper alternative for, you know, the rural areas. But, you know, if you're trying to build in, West Centertown to put on like 10 of these war homes, war style homes, instead of, you know, being able to put a 400 unit building. I just don't know how that's going to really address things.
Yeah. But, and I mean, some, you know, and some people will want, you know, sure, modular home, but then they'll want the extended modular home. So they'll need more space, or they'll need one for them, you know, one for the parents, the second one for the kids on the lot. It's not like, it's like, who is this catering to specifically? Someone was saying on the short that I put up last week, I was just asking questions and someone commented like, this guy asks so many questions. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I do. I want the answers, man.
Yeah, you asked four questions.
I want to know, like, I need to read this and see how well thought out it is, because I can't imagine that it's been very well thought out.
Yeah.
Just because we don't do that here.
In this same conversation, they were telling me, I want to say it was Sweden. I wish I could remember the country. We'll give Sweden the cred just for the sake of this conversation. But there was a country who was stating that when they visited there, they basically had like a full manufacturing plant building prefab homes, and they would just literally, like, they had their lots, like they had, like, you know, a big, whatever it is, 200 acre space that they were putting these homes in. They basically had a manufacturing plant where essentially prefabbing the homes and just rolling them out the door and putting them on the lot, like on site. So I think that's another option, like for those, you know, maybe not even 3D printed, but, you know, there's a lot of really nice, high quality prefab homes right now. And if you had that kind of manufacturing plant on site and could just literally build them on site, have a manufacturing line that's just pumping these homes out and putting them on the lots, I think that would be you'd have to get the permits for that. And that's obviously not going to happen.
And that was the other question, right? Which one of JT's friends is building these homes?
Mm-hmm. And owning the land. Maybe it'll be leased land, you know?
Yeah,
and
then the leased land thing is, I see that as 100% happening in some instances.
Paul, you talking about permits, I want to actually point out that you finally got your plumbing for a half bath, like a water closet permit in, and you got it last Thursday or Wednesday when we were together, and it was maybe
11 business days. Yeah, 11 business days. Now, there was two holidays in there. It was Easter weekend was in there. Online, it says 5 business days. The lady at the desk, very kind lady working for the city, she told us it would be 15 days when we dropped it off, 15 business days. So we met them in the middle at 11.
But again, 11 business days for a water, for plumbing, for, you know, extending a plumbing line from the bathroom adjacent.
Maybe. Yeah,
6 feet for a water closet. Anyways, and that's just that. That's just a powder room, not even a house or a big addition. Anyways, I just thought I'd point that out. How ridiculous. Yeah,
but we do have it. You know, it's in the window.
Yeah.
Call the city on me now. Okay.
Yeah.
No, don't. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Yeah. Yeah, no. So that's a lot happening in the city, but I will say property came up on my street last week for sale, or actually it was a coming soon sign, next day for sale, drove by this morning, sold. So that's why I'm very interested in the days on market. I think as we lead into the warmer months now, again, Easter's over. After Easter weekend, it always seems to pick up.
Which street was that?
I'll tell you off air, Greg. Well,
was it Keto?
Paul's on the water, so, you know, was he's got Keto? That water living.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
No. Anyways, days on market, short. Quick closes. There we go. That's it for this week, gentlemen.
Listen, I think tomorrow we're gonna have a lot of shorts coming out this week, because tomorrow's gonna be we're gonna have to probably have a special episode basically with tomorrow's announcements. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, some of these changes, the clarity on them. And, you know, this is just the stuff that we talked about today is just the stuff that they leaked, kind of, you know, or had a press conference the last week, let alone what's actually in the full budget. One thing I'm hopeful of is that it is not full of crazy additional spending that is just going to further inflation and further delay things, or put us in the hole more as a country. But time will tell. Time will tell. We got 24 hours.
Time will tell.
Yeah, there was a report I was reading from Scotiabank that they were saying that, you know, although people are not going to be probably pleased about the budget, they don't anticipate that it's going to trigger an early election. They said, you know, basically it says this budget won't likely trigger an election, but it is clearly a warm-up lap as Canadians brace for the polls within the next 12 to 18 months. The taps are unlikely to be turned off anytime soon. This was Scotiabank saying this about the spending.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
As we said last week, but...
As we say.
as we said. Yeah, they were saying that they're wondering where the additional funds were going to come from, because there's, you know, billions being allocated already. And they said that they're not going to increase the deficit. So that means that obviously there's going to be higher taxes. And the likelihood is, we were talking about that wealthy tax. They're thinking about taxing corporations and the wealthy more to cover these costs. So we'll see what comes out in the budget. Tomorrow will be a very interesting day, as Dave said. We'll see lots of shorts coming out this week. And if you haven't already, follow us on all the socials. We do have exclusive content on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, etc. So make sure to follow us there if you're not already. I know the majority of people are listening to this, not watching. So if you are listening, follow us on the socials as well, and you can get some exclusive content. Hot takes. Hey, gentlemen, hot takes.
Hot takes. Hot toddy.
Should we jump into some mood boosts?
Hot toddy would be nice right now.
It's super nice.
We got mood boosts. Here we go. Number one. St. Francis once worked at Krispy Kreme. He was a deep fryer. Wow. Didn't read that one before I said it. Could have done better. Number two, what do you call a sad cup of coffee? A depresso. Number three, I'm going to do four today. The first one I didn't like. Number three, I've recently been breeding racing deer. Just trying to make a quick buck. Mm-hmm. So to big pharma. And last but not least, customer says, waiter, the soup tastes funny. The waiter says, then why aren't you laughing? Why aren't you laughing?
I like that one.
I like the quick
buck. I'm
going
to use that at a restaurant quick buck in real time.
Yeah. And then they'll groan and walk away.
Yeah.
Like, Greg Campbell.
Another one of these people.
Oh, this guy again.
This
Tip me.
Guy.
Tip me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And again, if you're listening this late, we like you even more. Thank you. We record every Monday. We release every Tuesday, gentlemen, at 10 a.m. And this week, a couple extras. Big week for real estate in Canada. And thank you, as always. Thank you to our sponsor, soon-to-be sponsors. We will get that out next week. Big announcement. And gentlemen, have a great week. Anything else to say? Any closing remarks?
Deuces.
Nothing. Great. Big listings coming out, though, guys. I'll talk about them next week. Can't wait.
Greg's jacket's on fire. If you're listening, go look. Beautiful. Bye, guys. Bye, everyone.
Bye, friends.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe, because we'd really like that.